Now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. When as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph, before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man, not willing to make a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child, and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. Then Joseph, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him, and took unto him his wife, and knew her not till she had brought forth her firstborn son, and called his name Jesus. And when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he that is born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him. When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes and people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, In Bethlehem of Judea. For thus it is written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel. Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. And when they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold, and frankincense, and myrrh. I don't have a lot to give Victory Church, but all that I have I give to the Lord and unto you. This is my gift to you this year.
That you to a blind man. Mary, did you know that your baby boy would calm the storm with his hand? Did you know that your baby boy had walked where angels trod? And when you kiss your baby, you've kissed the face of God. Mary, did you know? The blind will see, the deaf will hear, the dead will live again. The lame will leap, the dumb will speak, praises to that your baby boy is Lord of all her creation. Mary, did you know that your baby boy will one day rule the nations? Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect lamb? And the sleeping child you're holding is the great I am. This is Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and sing. This is Christ the King, the Babe, the Son of Mary.
I want to read again verse 11 of Matthew chapter 2. Did you bring your gold, your frankincense, and your myrrh this morning? The only thing that stirs my soul really during the Christmas season is the story. It's the shepherds. It's the songs that the angels sang during his birth. That sudden burst of angelic glory that was shouted in those fields outside of Bethlehem. Also, one of the things that always has stirred my heart is the star. See, I believe that this star guided these wise men to the very place where Jesus was. We have guidance from the Lord today. Spiritual light that illuminates our path and shows us the way, that gives us insight, that helps us find the Jesus that came. This cosmic commotion that took place that I read in your hearing, this compelling call that came to these magi from afar, the conscious commitment that they made where they fell down before the baby Jesus and they worshiped him as king. Now, a baby to be born king is odd. I mean, you might be born a prince or a princess. You might be born heir to a throne. But I'm telling you this morning, Jesus was born king. And they worshiped him as king. They made a conscious commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. They not only brought him gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but they opened their treasures, the Bible says, and presented them unto the Lord. Did you bring your treasures this morning? Where is your gold, your frankincense, and your myrrh? I read this past week about a preschool teacher who was teaching the children about the story of Jesus and the wise men that came and worshiped him. And as she was repeating the story, she stopped to see if they were actually getting the things that she was saying. And little five-year-old as he was trying to repeat the things that were said, when she asked the question, "Do you recall the wise men? What do you recall about them?" And the young boy said, "Well, they were three maggots." And of course, trying to correct him and fix his blunder, she said, "Well, what gift did the Magi actually bring to the baby Jesus?" And the little five-year-old, "Well, gold, Frankenstein, and the Smurfs." And when I read that, I thought, well, that would be a wonderful sermon title, because I could preach about the gold, the Frankensteins, and the Smurfs. You know, the gold representing those that truly worship Jesus. There are those that are here this morning that really, truly worship Jesus. They're also the kind of Frankenstein Christmas that goes on. It's much like what you read about in John chapter 19, verse 3, where they said, "Hail, King of the Jews!" And they smote him with their hand. We have that kind of Christmases that go on this time of year. Oh yeah, let's worship Jesus, but let's get drunk in the process or have a party. Oh, come on. Man, that's a Frankenstein Christmas if I ever seen one. And we have those, I won't even preach about the Smurfs. We'll just skip that one. But y'all can just imagine what I'd have to say about the Smurf kind of Christmas. This season is in honor of Jesus. No one else. It was His birth. He is the one that came. But I'm not preaching about that. I want to preach about the gold, the frankincense, and the myrrh. Those things, those elements that the wise men brought to Jesus. Now, of course, we know them to be magi. There was one lady that commented. She said, "I don't think they were that wise. Had they been women, you know, they would have brought practical gifts. They would have brought baby diapers, and they would have brought nipples for bottles. They would have brought formula. They would have brought another outfit for that child so he could get out of those rags, and maybe a baby bed so he didn't have to lay in a horse's trough." But I want us to know something. These gifts were not meant to be practical. They are spiritual. They're symbolic. And you know, as you study the scriptures and you try to figure out, well, who were these men? We don't know. The holy scriptures are silent concerning who they were, what their names were. Does anybody know their names? Was there really three, or were there more? Was there an entourage of people that came? We don't know. We don't even know where they're from. But the scriptures do put a spotlight on certain things concerning these men who received this sudden celestial understanding that there was a king born that would transform and change this world. These studious men, these smart men, realized that the world would be altered by the birth of this king. And thus they came, bearing precious gifts to worship Him and honor Him. What I'm trying to say about these gifts is I believe that they represent something. That there's a spiritual side. When you read verse 11, there are actually like three stages to this verse. We have the vision. Notice there in verse 11 of chapter 2 of Matthew. They saw Him. We have the submission. They fell down and they worshiped Him. We have the consecration, where they opened the treasures of their hearts. So if they represented something, what did they represent? Well, some scholars want to say, well, the gold represented the royalty of Jesus Christ, that they were respecting Him, they were honoring Him as a king. Some say the frankincense represented not His kingship, but His divinity. We know that incense was constantly burned before God. We know that it represented spiritual things, that incense that was burned in honor of God was a sweet savor unto God. Some say, well, the myrrh represented His humanity. We know that it was the myrrh that was brought to embalm Jesus. That was an embalming process that was used in that day. Myrrh was used in that capacity. And so they say, well, myrrh represents his humanity. I'm not a scholar. I don't know. But I do know this, that usually we get two kinds of gifts at Christmas. We get the kind of gifts that we don't want and the kind of gifts we don't need. Some have concluded that these precious gifts were used to help them on their way to Egypt. I don't know. But I do believe that there is a spiritual significance to these gifts. They do represent something. Now, I don't know about you. You know, a gift can be given two ways. This is what I was actually going to say. A gift can be given two ways. You can give a gift with thought behind it and help the person or bless the person or please the person that you're giving the gift to. Or you can give a gift to a person and please yourself. Oh, come on. My mom does this all the time. I remember one year at Christmas, she said, I want you to make a list. I said, why, Mom? You're not going to read it. And many times I get gifts for Ange, and they're more for me than they are for her. Y'all do that? Oh, come on. So I'm not sure. Were the gifts that the wise men brought to Jesus, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, were they to reflect the royalty, the divinity, and the humanity of Jesus Christ, or were they with respect to themselves? Were they coming before the king, bringing these gifts with respect to their own personal surrenderance, committing themselves in devotion to this newly born king? Were they worshiping him as king of their lives? My friend, if you've never made Jesus Christ Lord and King of your heart and life, you need to do that. You need to crown him King of your life. I believe perhaps in the offering of the gold, they crown him King of their life. Some say that these elements, the frankincense and the myrrh, was used many times in magic or in forms of idolatry worship. Perhaps they were coming and they were turning over their idolatry. I do know this, they left a different way, and every person that comes to Jesus Christ always leaves a different way than they came. Amen. Maybe they were surrendering their past. Maybe they're delivering up to him their false worship, and because they've come to know and worship the true and living God, Jesus Christ. Amen. Perhaps they were surrendering themselves and committing themselves to the Lord, bearing gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Are you prepared this morning to deliver to Jesus your gold, your frankincense, and your myrrh? You may say, well, preacher, I don't have gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You know, in the 6th chapter of Matthew, Jesus said, where a man's heart is, there his treasure will be also. Amen. These wise men, when they came to Jesus, they opened up their treasures and they gave to Jesus. There is no greater gift that you can give to Jesus than your heart. Amen. And if you give Jesus your heart, you've given him your treasures. Amen? Yes, you give him your treasures. There's two things clearly revealed in this passage of Scripture. And it seems like the only main two things that are really emphasized in these passages. The spotlight is on the fact that they came from afar to honor and worship Jesus Christ the King. And secondly, them bearing those gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. How is it with you this morning? Are you prepared to do that? Are you prepared to give those gifts? In Isaiah chapter 60, I want us to look there just for a moment. I'm not going to hold you very long. But you know, these magi, they saw the star, they responded to it, and it reappeared, it disappeared, then it reappeared, and when it reappeared, it led them right to the place where Jesus was. He was in a house. This could have been months, years after his birth. We all are aware of the true story. The Bible gives us a true story. Amen? Amen. You can sing whatever songs you want about it. The point is that when they found him, they worshiped him. They sought him, and when they found him and saw him, they worshiped him. My friend, you'll never see him and worship him till you seek him. The Bible teaches us to seek the Lord with all of our hearts. And when you seek the Lord, you must seek the Lord in order to find the true Jesus. In the 60th chapter of Isaiah, which was prophesied of, and I'm sure you have this reference in your Bible as well. These passages in Isaiah chapter 60 are talking about the church, the gospel temple, the light that would illuminate the world through the church. The church is the light of the world. And Isaiah calls on the church to arise in verse 1 and shine. Jesus is the light of the world, but he also told us that once we were illuminated with his light, that we too should shine. The church, he said, you are the light to this world. And through the preaching of the gospel, hearts are illuminated. It's the devil that keeps people in darkness. He talks about in these passages that he said, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, that people would sit in grace in gross darkness, and they need to see the light. Then he begins to prophesy concerning the Gentiles that would come to the king in the brightness of his rising in verse 3. And he talks about the many people that come and are enlightened through the church and how the gospel would have its effect. And I believe the coming of the wise men were a prelude of that. Notice as I read for you verse 6, the latter part where it talks about they would come from all these different regions with a mirage of camels and so forth. And he says, and they shall bring gold and incense, and they shall show forth the praise of the Lord. Now, all through the New Testament, Paul constantly said the church that saved people were saved to the praise of his glory. Amen. And that we would show forth the praise. And he talks about the Gentiles. I believe he's talking about the fullness of the Gentiles. I believe he's talking about the prophecy was prophesied of that the church would go forth once they turned from the Jews and preached to the Gentiles, that multitudes of people would come and be saved through the preaching of the cross. And he says they would bring with them to the king gold and incense. I'll tell you this much about it. When you get saved, you're bought with a price. You're the Lord's. From the sole of your feet to the top of your head, you are Jesus's. Amen. You become his when you're saved by his grace to serve him and to be to the praise of his glory. But he mentions in there, and I believe the coming of the wise men are a prelude of what would take place after a person hears the gospel and they are drawn by the Holy Spirit and they're convicted by their sins and they repent and trust in him with all of their heart. They would bring their gold and their incense to him to show forth the praise of Jesus. All right, my question this morning, where is your gold, frankincense, and myrrh? If gold is really our worship, our true devotion, our true commitment to him, if frankincense is our spiritual life, our worship of Jesus, and our honoring him with our hearts and with our souls, if the myrrh is a representation of our sacrifice that we make, and I believe what Paul said in Romans chapter 12, that we are to be a sacrifice to the Lord, a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service. If it is our sacrifice, our commitment to him, our dying to him, our crucified unto Christ way of life, then where is this morning your gold, your frankincense, and your myrrh? Well, what happened there? What happened there when the wise men came? Are you telling me that they simply were a prelude of our lives? Were they simply a prelude to what would take place when you would hear the gospel? That we too should come and worship him. You say, preacher, I don't have any gold. I don't have any frankincense. I don't have any myrrh. Oh, but you can come to the Lord with repentance. You can come to
Jesus Christ in faith, I tell you, faith, and come to Him, surrendering and submitting yourself and yielding yourself to Him, and through that you will be worshiping Him. Wow. Do you see Jesus this morning? In our reading lesson, what compelled them? What called them? It was a star, right? Was it not a star that they saw? Listen, there is light being given to people today. There's light in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Every person gets their own star. What if they would have ignored the star? Now listen to me. Here's these men from a far country. We don't know how far off it was, but they came from afar. And right there in a town within a few miles of Bethlehem was Jerusalem. Why didn't they behold the star? Now, the star wasn't like a normal star or comet like we see today. This thing was special. It didn't sit way out there somewhere. I'm telling you, it sat right over the lowly Jesus. And when the wise men continued to pursue and seek it, it appeared to them and it moved to the very place. Now, if it was a star like we see out there, you know, like in the heavens at night, if it was over Bethlehem, it would have been over Jerusalem, right? But this was special. They had a call that came to them. They had something that was drawing them and compelling them. That they gathered light from the star. And I'm contending this morning that you have also received a star. And it is leading you to Jesus. Amen. It's light. Bible says that the world is lost and in darkness because the God of this world has blinded their minds, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in their hearts. Amen. We're preaching light. You come to the light that leads you to a place of repentance and faith where you'd come to know Jesus as King and Savior of your soul. Amen. That light. Everyone gets to receive that light. Okay, here's the point in case. These men from afar, they, in difficulty and tough terrain, they sought out the Savior. And people right next door to it ignored it, didn't they? They ignored it. I mean, even after Herod and people of Jerusalem that were afraid when they heard that King Jesus had been born, they still did not seek Him out. But the light was still there. And I'm telling you, some of you are receiving light. And it will take you to the very place where Jesus is. Amen. I realize we as Victory Church, we can't compete with the showmanship of these other churches. And I really don't want to. I don't know about you. I've realized a long time ago that I can't compete with the eloquence of the speakers that have been well trained in this profession. I realize that. But I'm not depending on me when I preach. I'm depending on the power of the Holy Ghost to get a hold of the souls of men and bring them to the foot of the cross, where when they come to the crest of Calvary, they find Jesus Christ, King of kings and Lord of lords, a living Savior that resurrected on the third day. Yes. All right. Where's your gold, Frank? I mean, if the star is there for you, if the Holy Spirit is drawing you, if the gospel has entered your head and your heart and the Holy Ghost, the light, the glorious light of the gospel is shining and shining and shining and moving and even directing you. I've said this many times. I'd rather be led of the Holy Ghost than to walk on the moon. Amen. To feel the leadership of the Lord, to know the will of God for my life. Isn't that powerful? It's a joy. It's a privilege that star, when you see it, you know, when they saw the star, they rejoiced. They were glad. God was trying to take some leadership and show them the way, help them find the way, where they could do what's right, where they knew what was right in worship of this king. This morning, we have seen his star. And now what they said? We've seen a star. And where is he that is born King of the Jews? Where is he? We've seen a star. And when that star, you know, there are times in our life where God will let us know what his will is for our life. And we are self-centered and ignorant and carnal and human, and we ignore it or we push it aside. You know what I'm talking about? If you, you know, we push away. We don't do what God's calling on us to do. We see the star, but we don't move like we should move. But God sometimes gives us a second chance. And the star appears a second time. Amen? And the Bible says here that when they saw that star a second time, they rejoiced exceedingly. The Lord is trying to lead you and bring you to a place where that you could be to the praise of His glory, that you could show forth the glory of Jesus through a kind of life that is conformed to Him through His saving grace and His forgiveness of sin. All right, we've seen His star. Can you say that this morning? Is there anybody here this morning that could say that we've seen His star? Amen. Not our star, not the world's star, not some star in the celestial heavens. We have seen the star of Jesus. And that star has led us. It has drawn us. It has brought us to the place where He is. And we've met Him. I mean, you know, they walked into that house and they saw Him. I tell you, there must be a time in your life where you, by the eye of faith, see Jesus and come to know Him in the forgiveness of sin. All right, if you've seen a star, anybody here seen a star? My question is, if you've seen His star like they saw a star, where is your gold, frankincense, and your myrrh? Are you going to really, genuinely worship Him this morning? I believe that's what gold represents. Everything in the temple was covered in gold. I mean, everything, every instrument, every piece of furniture was covered in gold. Gold, true worship. Frankincense, really devotion, sincere devotion of your heart. Myrrh, total commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what they brought, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I hope that you'll respond to the light that you've received and bring your gold, your frankincense, and myrrh to Him this holiday season. The light does shine. I mean, in the first chapter of Revelation, Jesus saw the church, and I have time to get into this. I may preach this someday, but from the 60th chapter of Isaiah, I'd like to just go through word, verse by verse. But John the Revelator saw the church as seven golden candlesticks. He saw the seven preachers or pastors of those seven churches of Asia as stars in His right hand. Man, if you've come under the sound of the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. And if you've come under the sound of the gospel and the preaching of the cross came to you in power and in demonstration of the Holy Spirit, where it got a hold of your soul and your heart and tugged there, you received a star. And I could go on and on with this, but bottom line is this: the church is to be the light in the world. We are to reflect the light of Jesus. He is the true light, but we reflect His light. Amen. And the Spirit of the bride says, come. Come bring your gold, your frankincense, and myrrh. Let us stand and sing verse some song. I appreciate you listening to me this morning. What a joy it is to preach today. Yeah. Yeah, I do this morning come before Him. And I am not ashamed to bow on my knees and worship Him. And I'll open my heart, the treasures of my heart, and I will give to Him my worship, my devotion, my commitment. You know, everybody that's really come to Jesus and met Him eye to eye and face to face in a spiritual sense by faith will really bring Him those items.
Number 99.